And we'll take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. We're going to look at another portrait this evening. Lord willing, we'll be in 1 Samuel 17 for the next three Sunday nights. Tonight, the next two. There's a lot to see here. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoko, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can spend some time in your word. We ask, right as we begin, for your blessing. We understand that we need your help tonight, and we pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, and you would have complete control in this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So recently there was some news that came out in the math community. I don't know if you follow the math community and all of those things, but a man named Luke Durant found a new prime number. Right, so you know, prime numbers. He found a new one, and they're always trying to find the next prime number, and so they have to keep going further and further out. This number is 41,024,320 digits long. Right, 41 million digits long. This prime number. The number is 2^236,279,841 minus one. Right, so that. That's this number, and it's kind of a big deal in the math community, you know. And they have ways to find this, right? They have a certain formula that they use, and they just plug numbers into a computer and run it. And then after a while, the computer overheats and spits out a yes or no, I guess, on this number. But he used a series of like network computers and some free software. So if you have this, you could be the next person to find these numbers. But back in my day, right, we barely had calculators. So one of the frustrating things about math, though, is even with calculators, if you make a small mistake, it throws everything off, right? If you miscalculate just a little bit, it's going to affect the answer. And we're always thankful for math teachers that give partial credit, that it's not just all or nothing. But I mean, you have to be very careful. Every step of the way, every calculation you make has to be accurate, because a small miscalculation is going to throw everything off. It doesn't take much for you to make a mistake, a miscalculation, and the end result turns out to be wrong. And even the best mathematicians can make miscalculations. And that's what I want to see tonight, because Goliath makes a really big miscalculation. In his assessment of this battle, and in his willingness to challenge the Israelites and to challenge all of these soldiers, he miscalculates. And so I want to see Goliath as a portrait of miscalculation tonight. Because as we read through 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath's looking at himself, he's looking at the Israelites, he's looking at who they are and their soldiers and all of that, and he's calculating, right? And he comes out consistently with the answer of, I'm going to win, right? I'm going to challenge any of these soldiers. And as he figures it out, and as he looks at them, and as he looks at himself, he goes, I'm going to win this thing, right? I can challenge any of them. I can go out there as a giant and confidently challenge all of those. He ran the scenario a bunch of times, and he kept coming back with the same answer, that I'm going to win. I am going to be victorious in this battle. But he miscalculated, right? What did he not account for? He didn't account for God, which is a big miscalculation. If you are going to figure all this out and you leave out God, you're making a serious mistake. But that's what he did. And tonight, if we don't account for God in our life, we're going to consistently come out with a wrong answer in life. And as we live life, we're always calculating. We're always making decisions. We're always figuring things out. We're building our life on these calculations that we make. We're making decisions based on the calculations that we make. And if we make a miscalculation, it's going to have an impact. And there's going to be a ripple effect coming from that decision. Another illustration, in 2003, Spain, they commissioned 4 diesel-electric submarines for their navy. So they started building one, and they had one almost completed, and the three others had been started. When they started looking at the one that they had made, and it was 70 tons overweight, and they looked at it and went, if this thing goes down, because it's 70 tons overweight, I don't think it'll come back up. And that is almost, I would say, the most important part of a submarine, is that it comes back up. And so they're like, well, how did this happen? So they go back through all the diagrams and all the engineering that went into it, and they found out it happened because someone put a decimal point in the wrong spot. So kids, this is why decimal points are important. That's all, right? This little mistake where they moved a decimal point and a submarine ended up 70 tons overweight. Like this massive effect from just what seemed like a really small miscalculation. It's a miscalculation to not add God into the equation, to not account for what God is able to do. So Goliath here, he makes this miscalculation. And we look in verse 8. Here's what he says. He stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? He says, am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. So Goliath, in all his calculations for this battle, he thought he was fighting against men that were the servants of Saul. That's what he assumed, right? That he was fighting against men that were following just another man. And this is where he put his decimal in the wrong spot, right? Because he wasn't just fighting against men who were the servants of Saul. He was fighting against men that were the servants of God. But if this is what Goliath thought, that he was just fighting against guys, men, that were just serving an earthly king, then everything else about that Goliath does make sense, right? Because it makes sense then that he would really rely upon his armor and his weapons. And it talks about all that he had. He had some, seems like, really high-end armor, because it talks about that it was brass, and then it talks about what Saul had as the king, and he had armor that was made out of brass. And that makes sense, because if you're fighting against other men, then you're going to want armor, and you're going to want a sword and spear and all of that. His words make sense in verse 10, where he says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. His talking very confidently makes sense because of who he was and what he saw in the other people that were there. He's a giant. He's taller and stronger than anybody else that was there. He's well-trained. He is well-armored. It makes sense that he could look at Israel and insult them and call them names and make fun of them and challenge them because of what he saw in himself and then what he just saw in the other soldiers. And when you look at it from Goliath's point of miscalculation, it makes sense. We understand why he felt so confident about this battle. They were just men. That's all they were. He had faced people like that before, and he could easily kill anyone that came out to challenge him. But again, he wasn't fighting the servants of Saul. He was fighting the servants of the living God and the Most High God. And if we take a moment and we accurately calculate this battle, all right, so we have, here's Goliath, right? We know Goliath is tall. That's one of the things going for him. Depending on how they determined how big a cubit was, he was anywhere from 9 feet 9 inches tall to like 11 feet. So even by the small end, he's a giant, right? Massive. So he's very tall. But when we talk about like comparing him then to fighting against God, we don't use the word tall to describe God. I mean, it's too small of a word. We use the word omnipresent or infinite to describe God. We wouldn't look at God and say God is tall because that's too small of a word. It doesn't fit who God is. God is greater than just tall. And when you face God, height doesn't matter, right? Height isn't a factor in a person fighting against God. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Tall isn't, it's not a thing. It's like a chess player flexing their biceps. And you go, why? Like, you don't need them to play chess, right? It doesn't do anything to affect the chess match that you have exercised this way. If anything, it shows that you put a lot of time into something that does not matter for the game of chess, right? And so here's Goliath factoring in his giantness. And we go, against men, sure, but against God, what does that even matter, right? Who cares how tall you are if you're going to fight against God? Also, one of the other things, Goliath is strong. I mean, we get that from verse 5 and 6 and 7, where it talks about just the weight of the armor that he carried. It talks about his the weight of his coat in the end of verse 5, his coat of mail, 5,000 shekels of brass. That comes out to be 157 pounds. He's carrying 157 pounds on himself going into battle, right? So that's a lot. If you took a book bag and you put 157 pounds in it, strapped it on your shoulders, and were like, go fight. You're like, I feel like I could do better without this, right? But this apparently was fine for him. He'd go into battle wearing this. His spearhead weighed 17 pounds, which we go, I could lift 17 pounds. You know, you could lift 17 pounds. But I think it's different when it's on the end of a pole. It's a lot heavier way out there when you're trying to, and then you're trying to not just like lift it, but you're trying to like wave it around and react with it and be quick with it and maybe even throw this thing. Goliath was strong, right? Goliath's strength, I think we would look at it and say, we would use the word maybe impressive for Goliath's strength. But when we look at God, we don't just use the word impressive. I think we would use the word miraculous for the power of God. Nothing Goliath could do, we would look at and go, well, that's miraculous. But everything God does, we look at and go, that's more than impressive. That's miraculous, right? God is able to create everything. Goliath can't. Goliath didn't create anything. But God created everything. God created the wood that the shaft of his spear came from. He made the iron that the head of Goliath's spear came from. All of that. God created all of that. God was able to part the Red Sea. Goliath couldn't, right? I mean, there's all these things where we look at God and say, God is so much stronger than Goliath is. It's not even close. It's not even a comparison between the two. God, when he was talking to Job, toward the end of the book of Job, he asked him a couple questions. And we could probably ask Goliath the same questions. God asked Job, he says, "Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee?" Goliath, can you make it rain? Can you do that? Can you bring water from the sky? He asked Job another question. He says, "Canst thou send lightning, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are?" Goliath, does the lightning obey you? Because it obeys God, right? God could call down lightning on Goliath, and his armor and his spear aren't going to do anything against that, right? This is who God is. Goliath was comparing himself to men when he was fighting against God. There's another thing that Goliath was probably taking into account. It says, it talks about his training when, in verse 33, when Saul is talking to David, he's talking about Goliath. And he tells David in the end of verse 33 that thou art but a youth. And he says that he a man of war from his youth. So Goliath's experience, all his training that he went through, I Googled, how old is Goliath? Because the Bible doesn't say. And the answer came back. He's maybe in his 20s or his 30s or in his 40s, which I could have guessed that. Anyways, he's somewhere in there. But if we take it and say from his youth, so if we give him 30 years where he trained day in, day out, we'll give him a break for Christmas and Easter and his birthday, right? But everything else, right? Goliath is training to be a soldier. He's trained to fight. Goliath knew what he was doing, right? Goliath had all of this experience, all of this training. But again, training, we don't use that word in regard to God. God doesn't train for things. God doesn't learn things. God knows everything. God doesn't have to train. He knows everything that Goliath knew and everything that Goliath didn't know. God knew everything. There is no comparison between what Goliath knew and what God knew. And I mean, we can take time and describe some of the battles in the Old Testament and how God won in those and talk about the experience there. But against Goliath's 30 years, say, we put God's eternity from time past to time future. That is God's experience. And it's far greater than Goliath's. And we come to the same conclusion that Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And yet Goliath stood there and thought he was facing men when really he was facing God. The same God that Pharaoh thought he could stand up to and couldn't. The same God that the Amalekites found they were not strong enough to defeat. Jericho, and we could go on and on and talk about all these battles. Even Satan can't defeat God. And yet Goliath, in his miscalculation, found himself facing against God. And he was not prepared. But Goliath's miscalculation led him to pride and to arrogance. And this is where, for those that are the enemy of God, that are against God, this is where this miscalculation leads them. It leads them to think that they are better than they are, or in a better position than they really are. And this is what it does. But today, in those that are the enemies of God, and they are not counting on God, not accounting for God, it looks different than it did, than it did in Goliath's day. I think one way that we see it a lot is when we hand someone a track and they say, "I'm all set," or they go, I'm fine, I don't need this," they're making a calculation based on who they are and the way they think the world works and their outlook, but they're not accounting for the God of the Bible. They have in there how good they are and how self-righteous they are and their morality, and they build themselves up in pride, but they're not accounting for God and what God has told them, and that they're going to stand before God. In all their calculations, they've left out God, and so to them they go, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'll be all right in who I am." And that's what the enemies of God, when they miscalculate and they don't consider God, that's what it looks like for them. But I want to go to verse 11 in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Because if we look in verse 11, we find what it does not only to the enemies of God, but what it does to the people of God. Because in verse 11, it says that when Saul and all Israel heard these words, those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is what it does to the people of God. Because they heard Goliath, and they heard everything Goliath said and his challenges. They saw the confidence that was there. And they, in effect, heard how Goliath was calculating the battle. And they heard all of his miscalculations. And they heard how confident he was, that he knew he could defeat anybody in the army of Israel. And they went along with it. They went along with his miscalculations. They looked at Goliath and they kind of came to the same conclusion that, yeah, we can't, right? That he is going to win, that he is greater than we are. They miscalculated right along with him. You know, it's like when, as parents and our kids are in school, we try and help our kids with their math homework. And so they sit down at the table and they're like, "All right, They show us, they open the math book and they got their paper there and their pencil and they're like, this is the word problem. And they're like, can you help me with this? And so we read it and then we read it again. Then we read it again. And we get our phone out. We're like, I don't know. And we're trying to help them with it. And finally we come to an answer, right, together. And we go through and we go, I think this looks right. And they're like, yeah, this seems, I think we got the right answer. Kind of makes sense, you know? And then so they go off with their homework and they come back the next day and we look at it and go, yeah, we were both wrong. It's got that red X through and the right number. We're like, well, you know, we kind of calculated along with them and we thought it looked good and they agreed to it. And we all kind of came to the same conclusion, but we both came to the wrong conclusion. That is Goliath and all the people of Israel. They came to the same conclusion Goliath did, which means they made the same miscalculation that Goliath said. We expect the people of God to account for God. We expect that, right? We expect Israel, we expect Saul to consider God in this equation, but they didn't. And this is what this miscalculation looks like. It looks like fear and dismay on their part. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. They looked at all that Goliath said. They looked at how tall Goliath was. They looked at his armor. They knew who he was, his reputation, and they factored all of that in. But why is the people of God, did they not factor in God? That God was on their side. Why did they not? They put Goliath next to them. And you can see this 5'4" Israelite going, okay, Goliath is massive. And he's like, they just conscripted me in the army and they handed me this staff, you know, and they're looking out at Goliath going, he has everything. And they're going, I'm not going out there. You know, I'm not crazy. I'm not going out to face this guy. And they were doing this calculation the same way Goliath was, coming to the same conclusion, when what they really had to factor in was they had God on their side. And when we don't factor in God, we will come to the conclusion that we need to be afraid and that we need to be dismayed. But if we're listening to the word of God, God constantly reminds us that we can trust in him and that he is everything, that he is sufficient for everything. And I appreciated Emily's testimony this morning in Sunday school, where she talked about going with MMO to the Ivory Coast and feeling not qualified to do all of that. But then she came to the conclusion that, how'd you put it? That God equips those that he calls. She put it better than that, but that was the meaning, right? That when God calls, he takes care of everything. And she went trusting that God would do that, that it was him and not her. And Israel didn't do that. They were busy looking at themselves and looking at Goliath and not counting for the fact that God was there. And you know, it's when we listen to some other voice than God's and the word of God that we start to leave him out. And it's when we start to listen to ourself or other voices that we start not counting God. And when we leave God out, everything falls apart. The whole equation falls to pieces. And just like pride makes sense for Goliath's miscalculations as the enemy of God, so fear and dismay make sense for the people of God when we don't count on God. And so, Lord willing, we're going to look at David in the weeks to come, but David calculated it correctly, right? And I'm thankful that it really only takes a quick recalculation to come up with the right answer. There was, we probably all learned the Pythagorean theorem, right, in school. I'll remind you what it was. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Does that sound familiar? Okay, some of you. Wow, very, very few. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So it's you're trying to find the sides of a right triangle. And so if you know two of the sides, you can find out what the third one is. You just plug it into that equation and it works out. But this guy named Pythagoras came up with this. He was a great Greek mathematician, among other things, like 500 years before Christ, 500 years BC, right? So a long time ago. And he came up with a sort of proof for this that they think has been lost to time. They're not sure exactly how he proved it back then. But since then, they've had other people use calculus and algebra to come up with a proof for why this works. We know it works, but they have proven why this theory works. But just last year, there were two teenage girls, Kelsey Johnson and Nakia Jackson. In their school, there was a math contest that was taking place. And one of the bonus questions was, use trigonometry to find a proof for the Pythagorean theorem. Which at that point, I would go, bonus question, I ain't doing that. You know. But they took up this challenge. Because people had used algebra and calculus, but nobody had really used trigonometry yet. So they went to work on this thing, and they found one. They found a proof of this, and it was kind of big news. They were interviewed in all these different papers, all these different news outlets. I don't know if it got peer reviewed yet, but it was in that process where other mathematicians check it to make sure it's accurate and all of that. But when they were interviewed about this, somebody asked them, how long did it take you to do this? They said they spent a couple months using all their free time to calculate this proof. Couple months, all their free time, which, boy, that's a lot of dedication to math, right? to using all your free time on math, right? But a couple months. I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't take that long for you to just count God into your life. It really only takes a few minutes in the Word of God and a few minutes in prayer, and you can take God and put him in the midst of your life and recalculate everything and rethink about your life, rethink about the decisions that you're making, rethink about the fears that you have, the doubts, the questions, all of those things. We just take what the Bible says about God and we put it right in the middle of that equation, and then we base everything else off that. And when we do that, we come out with the right answer. We'll come to the right conclusion based on considering God. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, we look at life and with men, we could say, he said, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. We could look at it and say, with men this is discouraging, but not with God. With men, this is frightening and terrifying, but not with God. We could go on and talk about the difference between men who just calculate themselves and their condition compared to believers who calculate God and who count on God for all things. And so tonight, we need to check our math. We need to make sure that we are not just considering ourselves and our life, but that we're considering God. And maybe tonight you've come to the wrong conclusion. And I wonder if you're here and you've been calculating everything, but you've just been forgetting who we have, who's on our side. And maybe you've forgotten all that God has told you and you have everything seemingly figured out and you've come to this conclusion. The sign that you're wrong is if you're afraid and if you're dismayed and you're discouraged, because that tells you that you're not counting on who God is. Put God right in the middle. Get in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Spend time with God. Put him right in the middle of whatever problem it is, whatever situation in your life. Count on him and recalculate everything. Do the math again. And I guarantee when you put God in the midst, you'll come to the right conclusion. Goliath, he was a portrait of miscalculation. Boy, he got everything wrong spectacularly. And he failed in the end. It all fell apart for him. Let's not do the same thing. Let's calculate on God. Let's count on God. Let's trust him. And let's live our lives based on him. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that we know God, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray you'd help us to trust you. Forgive us for those times where we just get so caught up in ourselves and in life that we seem to forget who you are and what you're able to do. Forgive us for our doubts, for our unbelief. Help us to consider you in every single thing. Help us to count on you. Lord, you are dependable. You are faithful. You do not fail. You are greater than any problem that we will ever face. Lord, we thank you for the confidence that we can have. Help us to remember you. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.